You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, there were some pretty jubilant scenes with you and Steph late in the game. There's been some hostility with the Houston crowd. Do you guys enjoy playing in this arena and winning in this city?
It's always fun winning in the city and winning in this arena. So Fred had made a comment earlier in the series, said this ain't that team. It's that organization, though. And we like coming to this city and playing in these situations. It's been good to us.
Yep. He's right. That was Draymond Green, and he's referring to Fred VanVleet when he was Fred VanVleet before the series was asked about the history between these two teams in the postseason, which dates back to 2015. And VanVleet's answer, which is the right one, was, "Well, those are different teams. There's not any of the same guys on this team that there were back in those Warriors series in the 2015 through 2019 period." What is that screaming going on? What is that noise going on in the background right now?
Sorry, that was Jalen Knoll. That was Jalen Knoll getting drafted. I apologize. I was trying to record Jalen Knoll getting drafted, the Iowa State feed.
Okay.
So there you go.
Gotcha.
I apologize.
I'm like, who is screaming?
Yeah. I didn't think my mic was going to be picking it up. It was Jalen Knoll's family upset about the
Rockets
loss.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
That was what it was.
Yeah, understandably so.
It might have sounded like jubilation, but it was actually sometimes like you can't tell when somebody's wailing out of happiness or grief.
Yeah. Like the screamer at the Rockets game on Friday. It looked like they did a good job of eradicating, or on I guess it would have been game five, but they eradicated that person. I didn't hear them last night on the broadcast. All right, so back to what Draymond was saying. And Draymond, you can understand where Draymond, Steph, those two guys in particular feel like, yeah, I know, it's a different group of guys, but it's the same court, it's the same arena, and it's the postseason. And we like coming here to play, and it was friendly to them last night. Where, Seth, so they've been eliminated five times by the Warriors now, the Rockets out.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Where does the one last night stack up compared, and I don't know if I need to rehash what exactly the other ones were.
Okay.
The most infamous one, obviously, is the Game 7 where they could have gone to the NBA Finals and they missed 27 three-pointers in a row.
I think at no point this year did I delude myself into somehow thinking that the Rockets were the second-best team in basketball.
Yeah, there you
go. The Warriors and throughout the entire James Harden era are all up above this one because there were times where the Rockets were the second best team in basketball those years, and you got eliminated by the team that was the best team in basketball.
Yeah.
So the feeling of, man, the devastation when you lost and knowing what you could have done if you'd made it to the finals, that was paramount. This was frustrating, and yet at the same time, you could see going into a Game 7 and understanding that the Rockets had utilized their big man lineup very effectively. There was no doubt in any, I don't think there was doubt in anybody's mind that Kerr was going to have an answer for it. And then it was just a matter of whether the Rockets could respond.
Mm-hmm.
And they really couldn't respond versus that zone defense by the Warriors when they don't have any shooters and when Jalen Green just decides to do what he did eventually in six of the seven games in the series. So, which is just not take advantage of the out. It's one thing when you're getting doubled and you're getting blitzed and okay, you still should score more than single digit. But when the Warriors are focusing all their attention on Fred VanVleet because he's the genuine danger and you're not doing anything with it, that's, it's frustrating. But not at the same level of, I don't feel like, oh boy, they missed their opportunity to win a championship this year.
For me, this one definitely wasn't at the top, for sure. Nothing will match 2018, where Chris Paul pulls a hamstring in game five, and then you lose game six, and you lose game seven. You only lose game seven by nine in a game where you shot like 14% from 3-point. Like, nothing will beat that. That's 2018. I think 2019 is more frustrating because that was the year Kevin Durant tore his Achilles mid-series. Or not mid-series, but like in game five. And then you lose game five and game six with no Kevin Durant out there. That was bad. I would put this one to me, because of the opportunity and because this is a beatable Warriors team. Like, you were favored in that game last night. I have no idea what the odds were on any of these other elimination games with the Warriors. This one was more frustrating to me. You lost in 2015 in five games. Like, that was a clearly better Warriors team. And in 2016, you were the 8 seed playing the 1 seed. Like, that was, everybody was just playing. That was a year, like, at the end of the year where, like, Dwight was gone and you know, like, James hated Dwight and everybody was just waiting for the season to end. Like, that one, there's no way I can put that one in terms of frustration above last night, you know, you were the better team, the more talented basketball team.
And this is the part, though, too. It's that, I mean, it's astounding, this stretch of game sevens and elimination games that James Harden has been awful in, continued this weekend. And going back to all of that, I mean, I don't miss being in that position of figuring out a way to defend James Harden and that, it must be some kind of fluke. No, he's not that bad in elimination games, where now it's just written in stone that this is who he is, that you've got a top five player in the NBA who just somehow is atrocious when it really, really matters. I have no more confidence in Jalen Green right now than I had before him in this series, but the fall is not so precipitous as it was with James Harden. The difference between James Harden regular season and James Harden playoffs was just so drastic.
Yep.
You go from a top five player to a guy who's actually a drain on your team. That was, and to watch it unfold year after year, that was way, way, way harder than watching last night's game.
That's the biggest thing for me. Like, I posted on Sunday afternoon. I said, man, the things I want to come in talking about on Monday are, you know, the matchup with the Timberwolves, finally exercising the Warrior demons. You know, did Alperen Şengün get another double-double? Like, all those things. What I didn't want to have to come in and talk about was Kevin Durant, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Zion Williamson, you know, all those guys.
Yeah.
And what is Jalen Green? What is Jalen Green? Like, that is the most important conversation going on in the building over the next couple of months, is what exactly do we feel his potential is? He gets compared to Devin Booker a lot, in large part because that's a guy that reportedly the Rockets would love to trade for, is Devin Booker. And if you do that, then I think it's logical that Jalen Green goes to Phoenix in that trade, and you're just upgrading at that position. But a lot of people point out, Seth, that, you know, before Chris Paul got to Phoenix back in 2021 or whatever it was, before DeAndre Ayton grew into something for them, before they made it to the NBA Finals in 2021, Devin Booker was a lot like Jalen Green, where he was just piling up points and getting a big contract extension for a bunch of Phoenix teams that were frankly a whole lot worse than the Rocket teams Jalen's been on the last couple of years. You know, high volume scorer on bad teams. And now Devin Booker is viewed as a guy who plays winning basketball while scoring these points. That's the big question. Can Jalen Green become a lead guy and an efficient winning scorer on a championship level team? And he is solar systems away from that right now. Like, he is so far outside that conversation right now that's what makes the conversations in the building over there over the next couple months very interesting, because he didn't show anything in this series that would tell you he can be that. Nothing, other than the 38-point game in game two. The other six games in this series, he was a complete non-factor, if not a negative for this team.
The Devin Booker, just by way of illustration, and this is where it gets interesting when you bring in Jalen Green's youth into the situation. Yeah. So by the time Devin Booker played in a playoff game, he was in his sixth year in the NBA.
Yep.
He was 24 years old, a couple years older than Jalen Green. but he scored the lowest production he had in six games was 17 points. You know, he scored 34, 31, 19, 17, 30, and then 47 again on 45 minutes played in game six. And, like, it just, it's night and day what Devin Booker did in his first time ever in the playoffs, but he was also a couple years older. Mm-hmm. Is that, do you sit around and wait a couple years and see that to show up with Jalen Green?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, you know, and I think the other big question with Jalen Green is how much damage did this series do to whatever his stock is? You know, I would think that if a team trading for Jalen Green is going, all right, we're getting one of the up-and-coming young scorers in basketball, but when it came time for him to play really important basketball, other than one game, he was atrocious in this series.
Yeah, you know? And that was a series that that Devin Booker series was against the Lakers. They started off down 2-1 and then won three straight, and then the closeout game. I mean, Devin Booker was the exact opposite in Jalen Green.
47.
He wasn't fighting for minutes. Yeah.
What year was that?
2021.
Yeah. So you're going against LeBron and Anthony Davis in a playoff series, and those are the defending champs.
And you score 47 in game six to win the series.
Against the defending champ. Now, he had Chris Paul as his point guard, and he had probably overall more talented supporting cast. I mean, the Rockets have a lot of talent on this basketball team, but I'm guessing the offense they ran, I have to go back and watch, but I'm guessing the offense they ran looked a lot less discombobulated than the Rockets have looked.
I'll say this for Jalen Green, at the very least, he did put out defensively. It's not like he was a total, you know, nothing. He did put out defensively, but you're paying him $35 million a year.
Yeah.
He's not your defensive specialist.
No. But you're right. That was good to see. I don't think he's a great defender, but the effort was definitely there. So, yeah, this is middle of the road for me as far as frustrating series against the Warriors, just because, man, You had a home game after having kind of figured things out in games five and six, and that effort last night was just so disappointing. So I'm curious, who do you think, you know, that now the Warriors face the Minnesota Timberwolves. Now Minnesota all of a sudden is a six seed, gets a home series in the second round because they're playing the seven seed. Who do you think in Minnesota last night, who do you think they were rooting for in game seven? Do you think they wanted the Rockets or the Warriors in this series?
I'm guessing they wanted the Rockets.
You think?
Still, especially if they've been watching. I think the names loom so large, and Steph Curry and his ability to just turn a game upside down.
Yeah, man.
And you know who the Warriors have? They've got Buddy freaking Hield. Honestly, this is what you guys have to understand about Buddy Hield. They make fun of him. In Northern California, he's the guy that dribbles too much and turns the ball over. He's the guy that doesn't, he'll take a shot instead of dishing it to an open Steph Curry. He's a joke in a lot of regards, and he was your death blow last night.
Because he didn't do any of the things you just talked about. He would just catch and shoot the whole time.
Like if the Rockets had a Buddy Hield on their team that could get the best version out of, if they had any shooters at all that you could trust, then that game goes a lot differently.
Yeah.
It's the simplest, and it's where I give Udoka a pass somewhat. It's that, man, yes, they could be doing a lot more offensively. I want to see more movement off the ball. I want to see a lot more. And yet they just don't have any shooters that can do anything with
it. Yeah, if I were in Minnesota, I don't know. I think there's a definite case to be made for rooting for the Warriors last night. For one, you're going to get home court advantage. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, if it goes to seven, you've got it at home. Although we saw how much good that did for the Rockets last night. I think Minnesota's I think they match up pretty well with Golden State too. You know, Rudy Gobert, like Golden State had trouble dealing with size. Minnesota's got a lot of size on their team. They've got Anthony Edwards, which is something the Rockets definitely don't have. They've got a guy who, you know, the Warriors had closers on their teams. The Rockets largely didn't have closers on their team, and that hurt them at least in game four. Anthony Edwards can take over a game. I would have been rooting for Golden State last night.
Now, if the teams were different compositions, it would be one thing, but both the Warriors with Jimmy Butler and the Rockets are both very, very good defenses.
Yes.
And ultimately, that's where the matchup, take all the names out of it and everything else, the Rockets were going up against one of the very best defenses in the NBA, and they're just not constructed the right way to play a team like that, whether it's got Steph Curry or anybody else out there.
So
Minnesota's looking at it, and if you really simplify it, it's okay. Both teams have great defenses, but the But the Warriors can score.
Yep.
And the Warriors were just in the regular season and in enough games this year offensively, they're just different than the Rockets.
All right. Text message. We've given Jalen 4 years to prove himself and a contract extension. I would have respectfully told him after last night, just stay away from the Toyota Center until I call you with the trade details.
And it's hard to use youth as an excuse when Amen Thompson especially shows all of those things where it's the dog factor is just so much more. He's everything you want in the way a guy is constructed at his core.
Yeah.
That guy is just, including after kind of struggling in the first four games, he figured it out and he turned it on. And he's all of the intangibles you feel like, oh yeah, Amen Thompson has got it. Şengün, as inefficient as he was, will be the first to tell you he's got to prove offensively, but you could see that he was a factor and that they had to account for him. He's got to get better. But it's just, you can see where the menace and the threat is and the growth potential is. Jalen Green, it was just that 138 point game, but then six games of nothing.
Yeah, I think if the question is, how did the young guys each do with their first taste of big boy basketball? Because that's what this was. This was 48 minutes of effort end-to-end, both teams, as you point out, Seth, two really good defensive teams going at it with each other. I'm most encouraged by Amen Thompson because he was almost like one of these cyborgs that just started, figured out how to play the game three, four games in. And then by game five, he was the regular season Amen Thompson again. He was the Amen Thompson who I have been saying since he was put into the starting lineup, and they've been playing him 40 minutes a night, he's the best player on this team. By the end of the series, he was the best player on this basketball team at both ends of the floor. Maybe not the best offensive player, but the total package with Amen, he was the best player. Şengün, I'm encouraged by. I think his numbers were a little bit deceiving in this series. I don't need to see how he and Larry Bird are the only two guys to ever do this many points and rebounds and steals and blocks. I don't need to see that because I watched Larry Bird early in his career. Larry Bird won an NBA title his second year in the league in 81 or whatever. Well, I don't need to see that. That's a little deceiving. Now, what I think is indicative of where the good with Şengün and where he is as a player is that two of those stats they were showing, I believe, is nobody's done this, this, and this, I think were steals and blocks, which I think is indicative of the improvement that Şengün has made at that end of the floor. The effort and the improvement he's made at the defensive end. He was a positive defensive player in this series. I think overall, if I had to guess, the numbers bear out that he was a positive offensive player, but the difference between what it was and what it could have been with Şengün, if he could just make easy make. I get it, Draymond was covering him this whole series, and Draymond last night was outstanding against Şengün, but there were several times in this series that even with Draymond on the floor, Şengün had worked himself into a position for a layup or a baby hook, and he's just short-arming it.
The point-blank stuff. His shot chart from last night of everything inside.
Disturbing,
all the misses,
man.
Inside the paint were very, very disturbing.
Jalen, I think you nailed it. Jalen was he was, other than game two, a disaster on every level. He's the one, and I'll throw Tari and Jabari in here. Like, Jalen is easily the one that I'm least confident about playing big boy basketball now.
I'll tell you what, a low-key disappointment last night, because you get focused on other things also, is Dylan Brooks, which I just don't have the... I don't feel there's other things I want to complain about and whine about this morning, and so he's not one of them, because Dylan Brooks has his role, and you can't expect him to be the star in Game 7.
Right. Well, and I think Game 6, too, with Dylan, when he got that fourth foul really early in the third quarter...
Yeah.
And earlier in the series, and definitely during the regular season, you'd be like, oh, man, Dylan got his fourth. He's got to go out. Because he had a good season for them. He was their best three-point shooter this year. In that particular game, the way that series is going, again, this is game six, not last night, but I think it backs up your point. I was like, all right, cool. Let's get to Steven Adams earlier than we normally would. Dylan's going out and Steven Adams is coming in, is what you say? All right. And, again, Steven Adams winds up playing 31 minutes in that game six, but you end up closing out the game.
Speaking of Draymond, Stan Van Gundy last night, I had no idea what he was talking about. Maybe I misheard it. When Draymond clocked
Fred.
Fred Van
Fred
Vliet,
in the face.
Did a kung fu chop through his neck.
Yeah.
Stan Van Gundy said it was obviously unintentional or obviously incidental. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about?
Okay,
Stan
that's
Van
funny.
Gundy?
That's funny because I was watching I was watching the Space City feed, the home feed. And Craig Ackerman lost his bleep on that play. Like, going, you are, and rightfully so. And he's the home announcer. He should. He was saying, you are a professional athlete. No professional athlete loses control of their limbs in a play like that.
And especially there was a second effort. To you know, there was a second effort for the shove's chest shot.
He was clearly... He was punching him with his off hand.
Yeah, if his hand had come down on Fred's shoulder or what have you, then so be it. Yeah, I get it. But there was a second effort there.
And they called. They didn't call a flagrant on him. They called a technical. So it was only It was a one shot technical foul, and Golden State got to keep the basketball after that.
Right. Like, one game after he'd already Deacon Jones to Jalen Green.
Right.
I don't. Of all the things in sports that don't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I get that some players get preferential treatment. You know what? And I try not to get bothered about it anymore. All right. The Pat Mahomes stuff, I just couldn't even just latch onto it. Like, whatever. It happens. How is Draymond one of these guys? I don't understand it. Well, I don't get it.
And it's not just the actual fouls and the you know, kind of these calls they make on him that allow him to stay in the game or that he won't get his second technical. It's the antics of Draymond after, like, it's how he
backs down the officials.
Yes.
He's like, the officials, instead of giving him a technical, are like backing up. Yeah. Like, oh no. I've got a family.
They talked about that. Here's Doris Burke and Mike Breen talking about, I think this was in game six, Seth, the game you're talking about here, where ESPN had the game on Friday night, right?
It was game six.
So it was game six. Here was Doris Burke and Mike Breen just completely bewildered by the same thing you were.
So how many guys get this kind of leash in the league to get a flagrant one and continue the discussion?
And in his face yelling at him. Again, the officials in this case, and we've seen it not just in this game, but throughout, they're going to give players a little extra rope in a playoff game because they don't want to have an effect, but it just gets tired. It just gets really...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tired.
And this is that's not Craig Ackerman. You know, that's not somebody coming at it from a Rockets perspective where, yeah, it understandably, the emotions would be running high. That's Mike Breen, who is as unbiased an observer as you can be. Like, right, it just gets to be a little much.
It's just so strange. Yeah. Like, okay, giving guys, okay, hey, you know what? Jordan's going to get away with, you know, giving a little shove on the shin before he hits the three. Whatever. How is Draymond Green the guy that's protected?
It's unbelievable.
It's so weird. Yeah. I don't get it.
Yep.
I don't get it.
Yep.
I'm not even mad at Draymond Green because they allow him to get away with it.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
And yet I'm about to be an enabler here because we're about to do Acknowledge Me. Our segment, yeah, where we acknowledge big performances from over the weekend or noteworthy performances from over the weekend. And this is this whole thing I'm looking at who's getting acknowledged here. And granted, I was the one who chose these people, but I can be a bigger man. So let's do this. Let's do Acknowledge Me. We do it 7:20-ish every Monday. Acknowledge the big performances from over the weekend, noteworthy things happening in the world of sports. I will say a name and then Colin, our producer who's in for Ben today, will play the Roman Reigns.
Acknowledge me.
So let's start with old Draymond. Old Dre, Draymond Green.
Acknowledge me.
For all the things we just said about Draymond operating with his own rule book, the referees giving him preferential treatment when it comes to arguing right in their face, he was one of the best players on the floor last night. He did an outstanding job defensively. Against Alperen Şengün, all those misses, not all of them, but a lot of those point-blank misses, Draymond had a lot to do with, a lot he didn't have to do with. But he backed it up in the end. You know, Jalen Green was the one talking mess about Draymond after a loss in which he scored 9 points. Jalen Green said, yeah, well, all he can do is talk. I wish you would talk louder, I wish you would talk louder, like Draymond does sometimes. But Draymond, you got to give Draymond, and he was, and it feels awful to say this in a game 7, Seth, but he was good at the offensive end for them last night too. Draymond had a good game shooting the basketball last night, getting to the rim, facilitating. He was seven of 15 from the field. Oh, you're the one who feels sorry for James Harden. I'm just giving credit where credit's due.
James Harden didn't beat the Rockets last night.
I'm just giving credit where credit's due, man. I can be magnanimous that way.
Call him your pappy, Sean.
Yep.
Call him your pappy. My
plus 18,
God.
He had the best plus minus of anybody on the floor last night. I'm going to acknowledge Draymond Green. All right, so there we go. Draymond Green acknowledged. Okay, I think we'll be on the same side of this one.
Yeah.
Warren Moon.
Acknowledge me.
So Warren Moon, a big topic, for whatever reason, this... Post this draft, jersey numbers have been a topic.
We'll get to
Abdul Carter. We'll get to Abdul Carter.
Yeah.
But the big talk in Tennessee had been Cam Ward, who's worn the number one jersey going back to when he was at Washington State and at Miami last year. He wore jersey number one. I don't even want to say obviously that jersey number's retired for the Titans because there may be people that are new to Houston who don't realize, like, no, in Tennessee, like, they've retired all the Oiler jerseys that deserved retiring. And Warren Moon is one of those. But here's what I love about this, is that Warren Moon, by explaining why he's going to allow Cam Ward to wear the retired number one jersey, unintentionally pointed out just the ludicrousness of Amy Adams Strunk and her cosplay with this Oiler, yeah, Titan thing going on. Here was Warren Moon on why he's allowing Cam Ward to wear jersey number one.
I've had that number for like 50 years, right? From the time I was 18 years old until here I am today. And Cam's had that number for about the last 4 or 5 years when, mm-hmm, he was at Washington State. But I looked at it as my Houston Oiler number one will never be worn again. He's going to wear the Tennessee Titans number one. And he has a chance to start a legacy with that number with the Tennessee Titans, which I'm a member of as part of the organization. So I just thought it was the right time to do it. And he can create his own legacy just like I did. And hopefully he'll surpass my legacy.
Yeah, translated, it's really stupid that we're treating the Titans like they're the Oilers. It's,
yeah,
really, it's that to the extent that Amy Adams Strunk does is really dumb. Warren Moon didn't say that there. But by saying, like, hey, man, the first snap he takes as a Titan, Cam Ward will have worn that jersey, that particular jersey, more than Warren Moon did as an Oiler.
Right.
You know, he's
right. Like, yeah. Yeah. That's this whole
so stupid.
The whole the retired number stuff. It makes sense with the. I mean, it's a dicey situation. I'm not cutting Amy Adams' trunk a break here or whatever. But if it's retired, it's retired. And if you're going to claim the organization's history, which they own,
yeah.
It feels wrong. But then, at least, and she's an owner allowing it. This Abdul Carter stuff with the Giants is out of control. Because Abdul Carter, first round pick for the Giants. First asked Lawrence Taylor if he can wear his retired number. Lawrence Taylor says, no, young man, go on and make your own legacy in this world.
Well, this is, and we should point out, like, that was the number is 56, and that's not the number that Abdul Carter wore at Penn State. He wore 11. Like,
so then he goes and he asks Phil Sims if he can wear his number,
which is 11. Yeah.
And Phil Simms says his family vetoed it, that Phil was considering it, but his family vetoed it. What the? Honestly, this is one of those things that it's very easy to look at and say, why are you getting worried about that?
Red flag.
If I were a Giants fan, I would be worried as hell about that.
Red flag.
What the hell is this kid worried about?
Dude.
What are you doing? Go do something on your own. Why are you hung up on this?
The first one is just offensive. To ask for Lawrence, if it were your number that you wore at Penn State, if you wore 56,
yeah,
okay. I mean, like, casually ask him, or at least try to bring it up in a conversation with him, and maybe he says it's okay.
He made it public.
The gall to ask Lawrence Taylor if I can wear your number is if to say I'm going to be. That's him saying I plan on being the next Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah,
and you could make a case that Lawrence Taylor is the greatest player in the history of modern football. Like, there is that case to be made. He certainly a case to be made that he's the greatest defensive player of all time. And you're asking him if you can wear his number when you've never worn it before, or at least not at the collegiate level that I know of. You've never worn 56. I'm with you, man. You will not get acknowledged. If there's a way to play acknowledge me backwards, we would play it for Abdul Carter right
now.
Get out. That's it. Good job, Colin. Good job. All right. This is another one that's going to be painful. Russell Westbrook.
Acknowledge me.
He's really good in a closeout game for the Nuggets. 16 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals. Had a dunk off of a steal in the fourth quarter where he just hung on the rim for about 10 seconds and got a technical.
They were up by 30.
I don't hate it. You're in front of your home crowd. Do it, young man. Yeah.
This is why I had reservations about Stephen A. Smith having that worst take of the week or in Take a Mania when he said that Russell Westbrook would be the X factor for the Clippers.
Yep.
Is that it is true in a lot of regards. It's that, okay, if you can get that version of Russell Westbrook, then yeah, it's a huge factor.
Yes, and no question. And this is why he's getting acknowledged. Not for that line. It's a 16 points, 5 rebounds. That's a good day. 5 assists. Russ described Russ better than I've heard anybody else describe Russ.
You know, my ability to be able to be a force of nature on the floor is what I pride myself on. So whatever that looks like, it may be a turnover, it may be a missed shot, but it may be a steal, maybe a dunk, maybe a missed three, maybe a made three. It's going to be all of that. It's going to be everything. So you just take it for how it comes, and whatever happens, you go with it. And I've always been like that. As long as I leave it on the floor, and God willing, to be able to go out and continue to compete, I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, that's the perfect description of Russell Westbrook right there.
What's your greatest strength? Randomness.
Unpredictability.
Unpredictability. That's like when you're planning a bank heist and you got one guy. It's just he's got a certain skill set, but he's also psychotic.
Yes.
Like, all right.
Right.
We're either all going to end up on death row or this guy's going to make it work.
He's the guy that can carry the most bags of money out of the bank, but he's also the one most likely to trip the alarm on the way out. You know, like,
yeah. And call up his cousin and tell him about it.
Put it on social
media. Hey, just
media.
So you know, yeah. I got to miss the cookout tomorrow morning because I'm robbing a bank
right,
tonight.
Right, right, right. Russell
Westbrook. Don't tell anybody.
Russell Westbrook will have the biggest bank heist of all time, and he'll tell everybody about it on social media. Yes. All right, a couple acknowledgments here. Sovereignty.
Acknowledge me.
Won the Kentucky Derby. If you're wondering who that is, he is a horse who won the Kentucky Derby. The most amazing Kentucky Derby stat, Amy and I watched the Kentucky Derby at our buddy, our buddy Wallace Marsh, Seth, with Wallace and his wife on Saturday over at their house. Wallace is a big horse racing guy. All the horses in the Kentucky Derby were descendants of Secretariat.
Yeah.
That was wild. 21 horses were descendants of the greatest racehorse of all time.
Tired of this nepotism in horse racing.
It's like a backyard barbecue. It's like a family barbecue. Yeah.
They're like the Matthews family.
Yeah.
Secretariat is like Clay Matthews Sr.
Yeah.
The grandfather of Clay Matthews III.
That's right. All right, but here's the part I wanted to get to. So congrats to Sovereignty, and thanks for having us over, Wallace. We had a great time. Xavier Leggett, wide receiver from the Carolina Panthers, was at the Kentucky Derby. He's a huge horse enthusiast, as many know who follow him on social media. He owns a bunch of horses, 14 to be exact. He was on with Kay Adams. Kay Adams was at the Kentucky Derby doing her show there. Had a lot of really good guests. None better than Xavier Leggett. Was asked about the 14 horses, and can you name them all?
How many horses do you actually own?
We got 14 now.
You what? Where? Where do you keep them? Where do they live?
They all back in South Carolina.
They're in Mullins?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And do you know them all by name?
I can name about 8 of them. I can't name all 14 of them.
You can't name all 14?
Yeah, no, so, there's a whole lot of them now.
What is the dream? What is the goal? What is the goal with the horses?
Man, I see it as like kind of a big investment. And one day I want to get into the Derby.
Into the Derby. I love him
okay,
so much.
Now, normally I would hear about a young athlete who's bought a bunch of racehorses and get nervous as hell. I wonder where the Xavier Leggett, because he's from rural South Carolina.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's comes from somebody in his family has a farm, has either a horse or farming background or whatever.
I would guess so, yeah.
They're genuinely treating it like a business.
Yes.
So I actually worry less about him.
Yeah.
You know, like some of the guys that I knew in the NFL that, you know, just basically put money back into their family farm did quite well for themselves.
Sure.
As opposed to deciding they're the next Warren Buffett. So
yeah.
I'm not – with Xavier Leggett, I'm actually less worried about him owning 14 horse races. I'm guessing he's got a father or a grandfather or somebody that knows what they're doing.
I actually like that he couldn't name all of them. You know what I mean? Like it shows the
he's looking at him like numbers
detachment.
More so
yeah,
than actual. Yeah,
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 for sure. All right, now they did talk a little football, Kay Adams and Xavier Leggett. And he was asked, the Carolina Panthers actually used their first-round pick on a wide receiver, Tet McMillan, out of Arizona. Have you texted or been in touch with Tet McMillan, Xavier Leggett?
Have you talked to Tetteroa?
Tetteroa? No. Uh-uh.
You haven't?
Uh-uh.
How does that work with wide receivers and wide receiver rooms?
You see, man, I didn't want to text him yet. I want to talk to him when he come in so I can build that relationship with him once he get in there. But he's a good player, man. I was even watching him play last year, seeing what he was doing. He making some incredible catches. I think he's going to do good.
Tet McMillan's going to meet Xavier Leggett and be like, can you please just, we text this?
Can we text? Yeah. Like he's, I would prefer we text.
Adam Thielen reportedly is the only guy in the receiver's room that understands what Xavier Leggett is
saying.
He's
the Leggett
Adam
translator,
Thielen,
yeah.
Adam Thielen basically has to translate for Xavier Leggett.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Kay Adams actually brought that up with Xavier Leggett, Thielen touting himself as the translator.
Thielen, that's my guy, man. He swear he know exactly what I'm saying. Sometimes I can see it on his face. He have a look like, I don't know what you just said, but he still be like, oh yeah, okay.
Still be like, yeah, okay. So there you go. Xavier Leggett thinks that Adam Thielen's actually faking it a little bit when he's, you know, acting like he knows what he's saying there. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah. That's what, like when you're
like,
talking
okay,
to somebody
okay.
from Scotland or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
you're like, oh yeah, you're
oh,
trying
yeah,
to like,
yeah.
read into the body language as much as you can.
Yes, yes. Okay, this is the best cut out of
dude,
all.
That,
of them.
I'll be honestly honest, man. Like some of the guys I met, and this crosses all like racial boundaries and what have you. The guys I met from the rural deep south. Man, it's a struggle in person at first to
oh, yeah.
really understand what was his name? It was offensive lineman my rookie year who was from Tifton, Georgia.
Mm.
I didn't know what the hell he was my roommate. Todd, whatever. Anyway, I didn't understand what the hell he was talking about. I really genuinely didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I ended up I prayed with him a lot because he was very religious. I don't even know what we were praying for.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Boy, I would want to know.
About this.
Yeah,
here we go. We're going to pray about this. And we're going, yeah, sure. I don't know. What
I would want to know what I'm praying about. Can you write down here what we're praying
Todd
about?
Fordham, Todd Fordham, that was his name.
Todd Fordham. Yeah. All right, well, you're going to like this cut then. Kay Adams asked Xavier Leggett for his pick in the Kentucky Derby. Here is his prediction before the race for the running of the Kentucky Derby.
How should I pick my horse?
Well, Me personally, I'm always trying to go for the underdog.
Okay.
Yeah,
underdog.
So I'm going for Chunk of Gold. Everybody, they think that he's going to lose.
Who?
Chunk of Gold. That's his name. That's the horse I'm going for today.
I can't understand what you're saying. What?
Chunk of Gold.
Chunk of Goat?
Gold. G-O-L-D.
Chunk of Gold?
Yeah.
Gold.
Like, she couldn't understand it after asking him to clarify twice. Like, Chunk of Goat. Did you say like goat? No. Spell it for me. Yeah. G-O-L-D. Oh, my God. He's the best. He is the absolute best. By the way, Chunk of Goat.
Yeah.
Finished ninth. So, yeah. A little off on that one, but that's okay. That's okay. All right. We love Xavier Legette. That was Acknowledge Me. We acknowledge big performances and great interviews from over the weekend. All right, speaking of outrageous statements, AFC South GMs talking about their picks. This is what, could we ever envision the general manager of the Texans saying publicly some of the things that are being said about the high picks, what GMs are saying about their high picks in the AFC South? We have that coming up next.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks, and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Pain and Pendergast.
You got at least one person with you on the text page, Seth, about no regret in wanting the Warriors in this series to face the Rockets. Text message, and we'll get to the GMs in the AFC South here in just a second. I don't regret saying I want the Warriors. Exercising those demons would have been sweeter than that. You know, the chance to do that sweeter than, you know, playing the Grizzlies or whatever.
There is something if you get that win in your back pocket, series win versus the Grizzlies, which isn't a guaranteed, obviously.
No.
But they would have had a better chance of having it versus the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Do you get a better version of Jalen Green against Minnesota? Like right now, I would guess no. And yet, it's probably, you know, you couldn't get a, you really well, against, couldn't get a worse version
against,
of them.
Do you get a, well, do you, I just want to make sure you said Minnesota. Do you mean Memphis? Or like,
no, I think like getting all the bugs out of like getting used to playing the playoffs and everything.
Yeah.
And then, like, let's say Jalen Green has a game or two that's really nice against the Grizzlies.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
then
yeah.
He goes into that Minnesota game or series and just you see a better version of him. Like, he's learned and adjusted to what the playoff basketball
is
like.
I think it's reasonable. Here's the thing. If the question is, would you have gotten a better version of Jalen Green and just leave it blank? The answer is going to be yes compared to what he was in this series because he was.
Yeah.
It's hard to be worse than what he was in this series. You know,
I don't know. I mean, he was supposed to, hey, his best game was in game two, and
yep.
then he showed promise, and he did some nice things in game. You know, in game six before he got injured, it was just.
I don't want to go too deep on that. Like, Memphis was coaching with an interim coach. You know, like Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr made a lot of moves that made life hard. On Jalen Green.
They got it. You know what? Yeah, they're real welcome to the NBA playoffs. Might not have happened until the second series.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
So like, it would have been it then. So Jalen Green could have been even worse in his second series.
Maybe.
Emboldened with a false sense of confidence
yes,
going into it.
That's fair. I think that's fair. All right, so AFC South GMs talking about their top picks here. All right, I got sucked in on the headline porn with this one, Seth.
Yeah, this was I feel bad because I was in the bad – I'm in a bad position of having to defend Mike Borgonzi, who comes via Kansas City, because all the headlines were, oh, Titans GM compares Cam Ward to Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, this is going to be juicy.
I'm like, this guy is trying to out Gladstone here, you know?
Yeah, so, but then
Gladstone actually did do that in his introduction to Travis Hunter, you know, like, saying he's going to change the game, change the sport.
And in classic headline porn fashion, though, the question was specifically about Pat Mahomes.
Oh, okay.
You know, some of the things I mentioned about instincts and spatial awareness when we studied Patrick coming out, I thought Cam showed that. Now he's got a long way to become Patrick Mahomes, future Hall of Fame, 3 Super Bowls right now. But there were certain traits, I think, that I saw, you know, that I've been around Patrick a long time. You know, his ability to process and the instincts kind of stood out to me.
All right, so that was pretty measured. The question was specifically about Mahomes. So
the question was very much, it was like, hey, Pat Mahomes has been compared to this, and Pat Mahomes does this and that. And I felt like Borgonzi was trying to be politely, if you were in a casual conversation, you'd be like, all right, get out of here with that Pat Mahomes talk right now, okay?
Borgonzi.
We want to teach him, like, he's going to be Cam Ward, and we're going to be, so he just kind of looked at some of the positive attributes, which you can do about any quarterback prospect with any great quarterback.
Borgonzi is in that honeymoon phase still with the media in Tennessee, so he's trying to play nice with them a little bit, you know, not shut down the question. And he scouted, to your point, you said he's part of the Chiefs, so he scouted Mahomes back in the day.
Yeah, he was the assistant GM with the Chiefs.
Yeah, so that's a logical question. And so what you're saying is that the headline porn, sucked a lot of people in, like, oh, look at this GM making comps to Mahomes with their new number one overall quarterback. Okay.
Yeah.
So what you're saying.
So I defend Borgonzi.
Defend Borgonzi, okay. And I think by way of illustration, because you're right, I thought that was a very measured answer. It wasn't outrageous. He was asked directly about a Mahomes comp, and he accommodated a new to him media member, you know. So what you're saying is it wasn't like this.
You know, as we sit here, Travis Hunter is a Jacksonville Jaguar, and really what comes to mind for me, right, thinking about the sport of football and really the power of the game itself, right, its capacity to ignite belief, right? Belief in ourselves, belief in others, right? Belief in achieving what many may deem impossible. Travis Hunter, he embodies belief, right? He's a rare person, he's a rare player, but he's also a reminder that the boundaries of the game of football were built to be challenged.
Mm-hmm.
And so the decision to select him was actually a statement for how we plan to move, who we are, and we want him to be nothing more than him.
Boy.
Because when he is, he elevates the space around him.
Mm.
From the football field, to the city, to the game of football itself.
What have you been hunting?
Travis Hunter is who we've been hunting up.
Oh, okay.
Couldn't be more jacked to be sitting right here beside him and introduce you all to the man of the hour.
The dumbest part of all that, the applause.
And the clapping at a press conference.
The dumbest part of all that was the sport of football igniting my belief in others. It ignites belief in ourselves and belief in others. There's so many opportunities I feel like I've missed, Seth, in, say, like a pep talk to one of my kids when they're lacking in confidence in something, or, you know, they need better grades, or, you know, my daughter's got a big race coming up and she's not sure how she feels, and I look at her and I say, Judy, I believe in you. And she's like, yeah, where is this belief coming from? The sport of football. The NFL. The NFL has me believing in you running this completely disconnected cross-country race with the sport of football. Yes.
There's a lot of people. And remember, though, this is what's so annoying about it, is this is after a draft selection. This is, this is like talking about igniting belief in that, hey, you too someday could go 4-13 in a regular season.
Yeah.
And then trade up to take a draft prospect who did incredible things in college, but who any actual NFL GM who's been around a while knows that, look, you still got to prove it in the NFL. I'm going to go, just know that you too can also be bad enough to be put in a spot where you can take a big swing on buying a lottery ticket.
Yes.
It can be done.
Yes. You can overpay for a player near the top of the draft.
Yes, you too can do this.
Yeah.
You too can be the NFL equivalent of the Los Angeles Angels. For it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Up to and including a Shohei comp for Travis Hunter, yes.
I honestly, I felt bad for Travis Hunter in all of this because, for one, if Travis Hunter, it's almost like if you're going to get up and say the things about, you know, that a lot of high draft picks will say is like, hey, I got to earn my spot on this team. I got to prove to my teammates that I'm going to be good and everything. It almost feels like you're kind of taking some of the juice out of your new boss's statement.
Yes.
He gets up and says, this guy's going to redefine the game. It's hard to sit there and say, hey, I just want to come in and earn the respect of my teammates. Meanwhile, the GMs over there are like, and Travis, what else are you going to do? I'm going to challenge boundaries and reset expectations for not just football, but the world.
Right. And yet I think like Travis Hunter's teammate in college was Shedeur Sanders, and Shedeur was probably really jealous of that introduction right there. I feel like Shedeur's like, hey, you got sent the wrong copy. That's about me challenging all the boundaries.
I'm the one that's going to change the culture and everything else.
Like, you got
really is a testament to Travis Hunter's personality and everything else that, like, he was completely left out, and his playing ability, that he was completely left out of any of the Deion and Shedeur hoopla.
Yeah.
It was Travis, it's just, he was in a different category. The other part of it is the difference between how D'Amico Ryan's talked about his high draft picks with CJ Stroud, and then especially Will Anderson when you trade up so aggressively for him. D'Amico would specifically say, hey, these guys have enough pressure on them. I just want them to be themselves. They don't have to do anything more than that. I need to take pressure off of them.
Right.
Meanwhile, you got the magnificent Gladstone saying, like, this guy's going to win the Nobel Peace Prize someday.
He did say all he has to do is be himself right after saying he was going to change the sport and push the boundaries into the...
Yes. All of these things.
Just be yourself. Yeah, just be yourself.
I wish Travis Hunter was a jerk, because then we could really enjoy all of this.
He's not, but he's in the division, so that'll be enough. Like, you see him twice a year. That'll work for me. And yet still the thing that bothers me the most of what any GM in the division has said over the last couple of years is old Chris Ballard.
Being the best rusher in the draft.
We just got the bleeping best rusher in the draft when they got Leiatu Latu with the 15th overall pick. Yeah,
right. You got him midway through the first round. Okay, Chris. Like, that's where, if it's a genuinely incredible prospect, not to say you can't really work out, obviously.
Right.
The way he said that was like, with the 15th pick, we got the, usually the best pass rusher goes in Abdul Carter's territory.
Yes, it's the cackling. Yeah. If he had just said it, hey, we might have gotten the best defensive player in the draft, I'd be like, all right, I don't know if I agree with your take. But it's the laughing as if he got over on the other 14 teams in front of him.
Yeah.
like some bridge
troll.
And then
we're going to follow up by, we've got the best track athlete at quarterback.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly. Yeah. And we're going to sign a second one that can't throw.
The best track athlete that never actually makes it to the Olympics because he's always injured.
We got the most inaccurate QB competition in camp.
Oh, that should be Chris Ballard. Yeah, Anthony Richardson was built to defy expectations. Yes. A lot of people these days will tell you that 50% completion rate can't hack it in the NFL.
That's right.
Anthony Richardson will prove them wrong.
Damn right.
We're going to win with 50% completions, my friends.
Oh, my God. All right, was this Rocket season a success? Weigh in, 713-572-4610. Was this Rocket season, following last night's Game 7 home loss, a success? We will discuss coming up next.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.